Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. Today is Sunday, August the 6th. It's day 218 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and I am officially back home. Finally made it. Man, I tell you, can't do those long drives like I used to. But thankfully, we made it back home okay, and we are glad to be back to the old dog, Finn. Back to the house. Back to our life here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and glad to be back here with you in the Word. And we're going to spend some time now, as we always do. We always take a little time in God's Word. We let God's Word take a little time on us. Oh, how we all need that, no doubt about that. And today, that's going to happen in the book of Habakkuk, chapters 1 and 3, 1 through 3. And then we finish our reading in John's Gospel, chapter 8. We are reading through the New Living Translation. What do you say we jump right in here? Habakkuk. It's kind of fun to say. Chapter 1. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. The Lord replied, "Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone. But they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out. O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are they only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquests? Habakkuk chapter 2. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Wealth is treacherous, and the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations and swallowed many peoples. But soon their captives will taunt them. They will mock them, saying, what sorrow awaits you, thieves? Now you will get what you deserve. You've become rich by extortion. But how much longer can this go on? Suddenly your debtors will take action. They will turn on you and take all you have while you stand trembling and helpless, because you have plundered many nations. Now all the survivors will plunder you. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What sorrow awaits you who build big houses with money gained dishonestly? You believe your wealth will be your security, putting your family's nest beyond the reach of danger. But by the murders you have committed, you have shamed your name and forfeited your lives. The very stones in the walls cry out against you, and the beams in the ceilings echo the complaint. What sorrow awaits you who build cities with money gained through murder and corruption? Has not the Lord of Heaven's armies promised that the wealth of the nations will turn to ashes? They work so hard, but all in vain. For as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. What sorrow awaits you who make your neighbors drunk? You force your cup on them so you can gloat over their shameful nakedness, but soon it will be your turn to be disgraced. Come drink and be exposed. Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment, and all your glory will be turned to shame. You cut down the forests of Lebanon. Now you will be cut down. You destroyed the wild animals. So now their terror will be yours. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What good is an idol carved by man or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a god that can't even talk. What sorrow awaits you who say to the wooden idols, "Wake up and save us." To speechless stone images you say, "Rise up and teach us." Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Habakkuk chapter 3. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by, and in your anger remember your mercy. I see God moving across the desert from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hand, where his awesome power is hidden. Pestilence marches before him. Plague follows close behind. When he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills. He is the Eternal One. I see the people of Cushan in distress and the nation of Midian trembling in terror. Was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? No, you were sending your chariots of salvation. You brandished your bow and your quiver of arrows. You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out, lifting its hands in submission. The sun and moon stood still in the sky as your brilliant arrows flew and your glittering spear flashed. You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You went out to rescue your chosen people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe. With his own weapons, you destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with your horses, and the mighty waters piled high. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. For the choir director, this prayer is to be accompanied by stringed instruments. John chapter 8. A woman caught in adultery. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, "All right. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she answered. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." The Pharisees replied, "You are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid." Jesus told them, "These claims are valid, even though I make them about myself, for I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect, because I'm not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other." "Where is your Father?" they asked. Jesus answered, "Since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father." Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. Later, Jesus said to them again, "I'm going away. You will search for me, but you will die in your sin. You cannot come where I am going." The people asked, "Is he planning to commit suicide? What does he mean, you cannot come where I am going?" Jesus continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You belong to this world, I do not. That is why I said that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins." "Who are you?" they demanded. Jesus replied, "The one I have always claimed to be. I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't, for I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful." But they still didn't understand that he was talking about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him." Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean, you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my Father. But you are following the advice of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father." They replied, "We aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father." Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me, because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I am saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. The people retorted, "You Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along that you are possessed by a demon?" "No," Jesus said, "I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. He is the true judge. I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die." The people said, "Now we know you are possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets died. But you say anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus answered, "If I want to glorify myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father who will glorify me. You say he is our God, but you don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you. But I do know him and obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad." The people said, "You aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am." At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. "Who are you?" they demanded. Verse 25. "Who are you?" They couldn't make heads or tails about who he was. They were fearful of who he might be. They were threatened for what he was claiming to be. They were unable to see him for who he was. And there's the irony. It's only when we can answer the question ourselves that we will see him for who he is. "Who are you?" is the question. And Jesus gives us the answer of who we are in verse 28. He says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he, that I do nothing on my own, but only say what my Father taught me." Jesus tells us in this verse that if you want to know who he is, you got to know who you are. And who you are is the one who lifts the Son of Man on the cross. It was me. It was you. We are the ones who put him on the cross. We are the ones that he came to die for. It was my hands that put him on the cross. I am the guilty one. He is dying on my behalf. I am a sinner. I have been caught like the woman who was caught in adultery. I've been caught and worthy of being condemned, worthy of stoning and death. This is who I am. And yet, instead of me receiving the blows by those stones that would condemn and kill me, no, now my hands are the hands that pick up the cross so that he might receive the condemnation that was due me. Jesus says, if you want to know who I am, you have to know who you are. And when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand. Then it will become crystal clear that he is God come down, the God who comes down to rescue me from my guilt, from my condemnation. He is the light of the world, the one who stoops down and writes in the dust of my own broken life, the words grace, forgiven, loved on my heart. Are you having trouble seeing Jesus for who he is? See yourself, a sinner saved by grace and nothing else, by a Savior who has come looking for you, ready to send you into each day with the reminder that you are not condemned, Rather, you are loved. And the prayer of my heart today is that I will see myself for who I am, that I might understand who He is and what He has done for me, the words that He proclaims over my life each day, words of grace, forgiveness, love. And the prayer for my own soul today is that I will receive all of it and I will see Him. That's a prayer I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's our home base out here in the interwebs, and it's always great to see you, great to hear from you, great to find out a little bit about you. So next time you're in the neighborhood here in Cincinnati, Ohio, you reach out and let's get together. Let's pray for one another, let's hug each other's neck, and let's be reminded of who we are because of what He's done. Hey, one thing I would love to do is to connect with you and pray with you and hug your neck in the Holy Land. How about that? Hug a neck in the Holy Land. There's a t-shirt in there somewhere. Well, we're going to do that in April of 2018 and would love to have you come along for that journey. Amazing journey. You can find out information on our webpage and you can begin that registration process even today. Getting your seat on that bus, Gus. Well, hey, you know the routine, right? You know how important it is to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, and your partnership, of course, is so appreciated and so necessary for this ministry. So those that would desire to partner with us, thank you so much. You can do that on the app, the website. You can mail your gift in to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, I got to go head out the door. I get to go join in worship of our Lord this day at City Church. Looking forward to sharing the word there with my friends, with family, and going to enjoy this day. Hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here tomorrow doing the same thing. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.